As many of you know, tomorrow I begin the first phase of my sabbatical leave. For the entire month of May, I will be resting, reading, praying, enjoying the home that you provide for me, and visiting various centers of spiritual and creative renewal. In 19 years of ministry as a pastor, this is the first time I've had an opportunity like this. In nearly 60 years of existence as a church, I think this is probably a first for you too. What I want to say to you today can be found in a story from the book of Acts. It's in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." As he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them, Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we had made him walk. The God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus. And by faith in his name itself, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you." What are you staring at? Why are you looking at me? I didn't do anything special. It was God who made this miracle. Peter is very clear that he himself is not the source of healing. A man is walking after years of immobility. A man is walking after years of begging. A man is walking not because Peter had power, but because God has power. What Peter had was faith in the power of God. As you listen to the story, you may have found yourself identifying with someone in it. Perhaps you too are a follower of Jesus who can't seem to get to church for the hour of prayer without passing someone who is asking you for money. Perhaps you experience yourself as the person whose feet and ankles will not get you where you want to go. You have to rely on the kindness of strangers to carry you, and you feel that you are always asking for help. Perhaps you saw yourself among the crowd, startled when someone who'd been part of the background scenery for years suddenly jumped up and began to dance and shout. Perhaps you want to know, what is the secret of health and joy, and how do I get in on it? When I listened to the story, I noticed Peter, and I heard him say two things. I heard him say, "What I have, I give you." And I heard him say, "It was not my power, and it was certainly not my exemplary religious behavior that brought this man back to fullness of life." In the past 15 years, we've been blessed here in Pacific Beach to go from being a church that sort of felt like it was on its last legs to being a church that can not only walk, but can leap and shout for joy. Many of you on occasion are kind enough to try to give me some credit for this transformation. I'm thankful for your expressions of appreciation, but I find myself wanting to emphasize what Peter proclaimed. It's been God's power, not my power, that brought us where we are today. It's been God's power. What I had was faith in Jesus Christ. As Peter knew full well and demonstrated so dramatically, faith in Jesus Christ can accomplish amazing things. But it's always important to remember that the power comes from God and not from us. When we remember that the power comes from God, we don't have to be anxious or worried or afraid. For example, since this is God's church, and since it is sustained by God's power, the pastor can take a renewal leave, be gone for a few weeks, and everything is going to be okay. We can count on God to keep the church going strong. We can take this opportunity to discover that God speaks through various people, not just the pastor. That God's care and loving kindness is expressed by all God's people and through all God's people, not just the pastor. That the spirit which pervades this place comes from God, not the pastor. That each person has gifts for ministry and is authorized by God and by each other, not just the pastor, to contribute and to share and to use those gifts. I'm not able to go quite as far as Huckleberry Finn did, who said, "I went right along, not fixing up any particular plan, just trusting Providence to put the right words in my mouth when the time comes." I did a lot of planning for who's going to do what while I'm away. But I do agree that the providence of God is what makes our planning bear fruit and what allows our faith to open the door for miracles of new life. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead now acts or stands ready to act in all of our lives. Faith in Jesus really is the only thing that we need. Which takes me back to the other comment that Peter made that sticks in my mind. What I have, I give you. Peter didn't have silver or gold, but he had faith, and so he gave that. Another way to hear that is that we can only give what we have. If the wells of faith and energy are running dry, then it's time to replenish the supply so that I have something to give. In fact, why wait until there's not a drop left? Far better to tend to the functioning of one's spiritual well before the crisis comes. The members of the congregation who helped to plan this renewal leave had a really good grasp on the need for it and the benefits of it. They wrote a statement which includes these thoughts. Our pastor will lead the way, but the pastor's sabbatical is expected to revitalize the whole congregation. We have planned for the pastor to have time for travel and exploration, time for deepening family bonds, time for rest, time for pursuit of artistic activities that feed the soul, time for collegial support, and time for practical research into resources for the congregation she serves. We trust that her Sabbath journey away will renew her creative spirit so that she can return to lead the church and enrich the congregation in the spirit of the Creator. Our faith is that God, who has the power of resurrection, will grant renewal through this experience, and that you, the congregation, will grow from it as much as I will. I realize, of course, that we are entering into very uncomfortable territory as we cross into this first sabbatical month. I got a little picture of what that discomfort looks like during the course of our Easter sunrise service this year. As we neared the end of our early morning time of worship, I suggested to RC that we join in one of the hymns on the song sheet called Seek Ye First. It seemed like a reasonable suggestion to me, since RC had previously given his endorsement to this song sheet before the service. But when I said, okay, now we're going to sing Seek Ye First, he got this look of panic on his face and said, no, we're not going to be singing that song. By which I understood that he didn't really actually think that he could play it on his guitar, and so we better move on quick to plan B. I adjusted, and the service ended with great joy, with a different song. And when it was over, someone came hurrying up to RC and exclaimed, "What? Did you just say no to the pastor?" their half-joking implication was, nobody says no to the pastor. If she requests something, we do it. And it's true. Although, I try to make clear that no is always an option. You are a very cooperative and a willing congregation. By the same token, it's generally the case that if you ask me something, if you look to me for some leadership, I try to be helpful in some way. So I can almost hear that question being asked in a slightly different form as it was there at that Easter bonfire. What? Is Pastor April really not going to be available to us? This is not the way we're used to operating. If you are asking that question, you have understood correctly. For the next month, if you are in the hospital, you are going to be visited by a wonderful and caring pastor whose name is Djalma Arujo. And Djalma is going to humor me and stand up right now because nobody ever says no to the pastor. And this is Djalma. He has recently retired from San Diego First United Methodist Church, and he's going to be in touch regularly with Ami, our church secretary, for updates on the list of people that we have prepared for him. So he's going to know what the most urgent situations are. Furthermore, he's going to be available on Thursday afternoons between 2 and 5 o'clock for anyone who would like to make an appointment with him. And again, those appointments can be scheduled through our church office. When you come to worship the next 4 Sundays, you're going to be inspired by some excellent speakers, Sandy Dolby, R.C. House, Tim Adams, and Fran Matera. And of course, in spite of my fabulous solo last week, I'm quite certain that the music ministry will carry on very well without me. When you have a question to ask, a decision to make, a problem to solve, you have a number of options. You could approach one of our knowledgeable and talented ministry staff members, Fran, Dee, Malia, RC, Ron, Maggie, or Ami. You could consult with one of the committees or working groups that lead and support our church's ministry, the Board of Trustees, the Finance Committee, the Worship Committee, etc. You could wait until I get back, and quite honestly, June 4th is actually not that far away. Or you could take authority and make the decision yourself. And my part of that deal is I don't get to complain or criticize. If you make a decision, I wasn't here to get input to it, so I'll be happy about it. Believe me, I'm as used to being in charge as you are to expecting me to be here, so this is going to be a very interesting experience for all of us. I know that it's going to be unsettling because I actually got a little bit of a head start this week with Christina's soccer team. I gave the managerial responsibilities literally into the hands of another parent when I handed her a book full of all the essential documents and details. It's felt very strange not to have that book and all that material in my care these last 3 days. On Thursday, I said goodbye to Ami, middle of the day. I had some hospital visits to make in the afternoon. I thought we'd said our farewells, and then I called her 3 more times in the course of the afternoon to get information and to give last-minute instructions. The point of this sabbatical exercise is to see what we learn from it, and in the absence of our usual routines, to look to God for sustenance. So starting right now, we're all putting our faith in the power of God to lead the way and to keep our church functioning in the service of Christ. Our faith will be well-founded. It will prove well-founded. As Eugene Peterson points out, we did not make the resurrection happen. God did. And just as the man who once could not walk now leaps and shouts out praises, Peter promised that a time of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord as long as you turn to God. It is not our power, it is God's power that keeps us safe and brings us joy. Amen. Oh God, we know you are here. You've always been here, and you will be here. We give thanks for your strong presence with us, which has inspired us over the years to be able to extend Christ's ministry in our community and in our time. And I pray now for these good people that the ministry will continue to grow and flourish in my absence, that you will see to all the details and concerns, that you will bring forth the leadership or the caring concern where it's needed from those who are here this morning or who are part of the larger community. We thank you, Lord, that there are times when we can set everything down and trust you that the world goes on. And because we have such great confidence in your power and in your love and in your grace and in your life, we join our voices now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.